everybody who's being honest with themselves understands where we are in this country. You take a look around, you walk out your front door, you see depravity, you see degeneracy, you see Satanism, all-out Satan worship. Little kids are being molested in the streets in front of the police, lewd and lascivious behavior, criminal sexual conduct for the whole month of June, forever wars, innocent people being bombed all over the place. I would call it hyperinflation, what we're dealing with right now. Your dollar means absolutely nothing. Interest rates are stagnant. The stock market is fake and controlled. It feels like we have an occupation in this country. We had a 2020 election that was, you know, clearly rigged and stolen and fake. Nothing has changed since then. And so we're going to have that very important conversation. This is Uncancelable. I'm Stu Peters, King Bao. There's nobody better to ask about all of this than someone who has been a political insider for decades and who has gone through some of this degeneracy, depravity, has been involved with these elections that have been rigged and stolen, has seen everything from the inside out, and that is my good friend Roger Stone. Thank you so much for spending the time with us. We really appreciate it.
Glad to be with you. You know, Stu, I spent 45 years in the corroded rectum of the two-party system. You're right, I have seen it all. While I have some sentimental attachment to the old Republican Party of Lincoln and Eisenhower and Nixon and Reagan and of course now Trump, I also recognize that the two-party hoax and what's going on around us is a manifestation of a plan put in place many, many years ago.
So you do believe that the two-party system, the constitutional representative republic that we once knew, that is fake, that it's gone, that we have a uniparty?
Well, I believe that both parties are dominated, have been traditionally dominated by the same neocon globalist world interests. Donald Trump comes along and he interrupts that. That's not supposed to happen. It's supposed to be Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. Heads I win, tails you lose. And along out of nowhere comes this improbable businessman, no real, a huge public profile, but no real previous political experience other than testing the waters and choosing not to run. And he upsets their entire economic global plan for, you know, the further erosion of our civil liberties, more and more massive debt. He's interrupted their plan in so many ways. This is why they hate him. This is why they tried to frame him in three impeachment attempts. It's where we are today.
You could argue that Trump is one of the first influencers. I mean, he did what was his show? The Apprentice. Mm-hmm. He worked with Vince McMahon on WWE. He gained millions of fans there.
You could say he comes from Hollywood.
Right? Or the internet.
The Apprentice is a very important part of his rise in the sense that, obviously, network television, they're lighting him, they're making him up, he looks very good. He's standing in the high-backed executive chair, looking. He's giving orders. You're fired. You're fired. I don't like this. I like that. I don't like this. People don't separate in their minds news from entertainment. They see Donald Trump and they like what they see. Doesn't matter if they saw him on an entertainment show.
Yeah.
That's why his poll numbers were viable when he'd never run for anything. So he brought to the race the hardest thing to get: name identification, worldwide recognition. He brought that to the race so he could go right to step two, which is first you got to tell them who you are, then you have to tell them what you stand for. He was able to move right to the second stage because everybody knew Donald Trump. He was the billionaire, businessman, capitalist, entrepreneur who loved his country.
He came down the escalator. He became an immediate target because that was the message of the American people. They were becoming dissidents to a political system that just absolutely wasn't working for them. And this was the guy that was promising to be the human hand grenade that was thrown in the middle of it and blow the whole damn thing up.
Absolutely correct. People were sick of both parties, sick of politicians, sick of all institutions. But for the first time ever, they also have figured out that the media, big media, has been lying to them.
Fake news.
And that manifests itself in 2016.
He made fake news. He made the term.
Well, and also he makes use of the internet in a way that they had never intended. That's why after his election, you have all of these efforts to cancel us and silence us. They're trying to get the toothpaste back in the tube. Or they didn't understand that with a level playing field and full access to the internet and information, that Trump was extremely viable. They never saw that. They didn't see it. Hillary Clinton spent the last weeks in that campaign in her home in Chappaqua, looking at swatch samples to pick out the material for the curtains in the Oval Office. Meanwhile, Trump is barnstorming Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Detroit. You know, when you use a commercial pilot, the pilot can only fly a certain amount of time before they have to go down. Trump is swapping out pilots constantly so he can continue barnstorming. Wow. And he's just like calling, call the people in Milwaukee, tell them we'll be there at 3. There's 15,000 people at the airport when he arrives. This is an uprising. This is a populist uprising in which he takes back the country. And it shocks the daylights out of the people in control. That's why they've tried to destroy.
As far as Donald Trump is concerned, would you say that Roger Stone is a trusted voice?
We have a unique relationship. It's always been my practice not to discuss specifics of conversations with him. There have been some times in my life I spoke to him every day. Then, of course, after I was framed by Robert Mueller, probably because they believed I had influence with him, his lawyers wouldn't let him talk to me. My lawyers wouldn't let me talk to him. Obviously, for almost 2 years, we didn't communicate at all. Now we're back in occasional communications. I think that no one is perfect. He walked into a situation where he didn't have experience with government and politics, and he perhaps was naive to believe that there were two parties and that everybody on the Republican side was an ally, and all the Democrat communists and socialists would try to destroy him. He really didn't understand until they framed him. And when he started giving orders and they just didn't carry them out, like declassifying certain documents, that half the people in the Republican Party resented that he was there, resented that he broke up their cozy little arrangement with the Democrats to give away our freedoms piecemeal over time. But I think he clearly sees it now. And therefore, I think a second term would be even better than the first term. And the first term, despite all the efforts to destroy the guy, he generated the most robust economy in our history, the greatest rate of job growth, the greatest rate of wage growth.
Non-governmental job growth, by the
right,
way.
Right, and not part-time, full-time jobs.
Yeah.
He brought back the manufacturing base that they said was gone, 630,000 jobs. It's only grown since then. Mm. All the things they said he couldn't do. He brings billions of dollars back into the country to be invested here by changing the tax status in a way that upsets some people on Wall Street, but that's too bad. So he pulls many troops back from the Middle East without having the countries they're leaving collapse behind them into the hands of the enemy, because he uses the drone technology we paid so much to keep the bad guys pinned down to cover our retreat. But he brought tens of thousands of troops home. What happened when Biden tried that?
You know, and he's strategic in his strikes. All the forever wars that he promised that he was going to stop or not get involved with. He worked deals with Kim Jong-un to not go to war. I mean, everybody was saying, oh, we're going to war with North Korea. There's just no question about it. But a lot of that administration, would you agree that like a word, the word chaotic would fit?
It's interesting. The president told me, I think he said this publicly, so I don't mind sharing it, that when he, after he became president-elect, he met separately with Bill Clinton and with Barack Obama, the Obama meetings quite publicized. And in both cases, they said, you know, your biggest problem is going to be North Korea. You know, they're this close. This guy's a madman. Trump said to them, oh, what's he saying? And they said, well, what do you mean? They said, what's he saying? They said, well, we're not communicating. We're not talking to him. He says, the guy's got nuclear weapons, and you don't have a dialogue going with him? Wouldn't you be smarter to be like, know what he's up to and kind of see if there's some way to work things out? Because this guy, you know, has got to be given some incentive to put down the nukes and play in the League of Nations. I don't think he said it quite that articulately, but he said, I can't believe you're not talking to him. So then he does the unthinkable. He goes and talks to the guy, and of course they say, this is going to be World War III. No, we were safer. I think Trump charmed him a bit, and he stepped down. You know, if they did want to get into the League of Nations, they could make a lot of money. He could bring prosperity to his people, and he could go out be popular as opposed to just feared. All politics is local. But
in the administration, though, on the inside, do you believe that it was chaotic? Was there chaos?
That, you know what? Having watched him run his business and his campaigns, chaos is Trump's style.
Yeah.
He plays people off against each other to get the best out of you.
Do you think there were subversives inside of his?
I think there were people who were not working in his best interest, most certainly, and therefore working in the best interest of the conspiracy. Let's take Reince Priebus, for example. Reince Priebus is the guy who recommends Rod Rosenstein. Trump is surprised that there even is a Maryland Republican prosecutor, but Reince vouches for him. He, of course, is acting attorney general, who gives us Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, who basically runs a witch hunt operation to try to pressure people like me into giving false testimony against Donald Trump, which is really the story of my case, or people like General Flynn, who's being framed when he didn't say anything inappropriate to the Russian...
George Papadopoulos,
who was on my 77 WABC radio show this weekend.
Awesome.
So, it is outrageous to see how they have moved the whole conspiracy forward. And now Trump, he's a one-man wrecking ball, and he's got a pretty good idea who did what. It's not about revenge. It's about equal justice. It's about people who were active in treasonous activity where it can be proven should be charged.
Here we go. So I have some fans of yours. There's two men in my life that are important to me that have made a big impact. One of them is Coach Wink, and then my dad. They're big fans of you.
Excellent.
Told them I was going to be sitting down, having a conversation. Mueller keeps coming up. And Coach Wink had a question for you. I told him I was interviewing you. He said, he is a stud because he would not bear false witness against Trump. So,
yeah,
props
it's really,
to you.
It's very simple. They stormed my home on January 25th. 29 fully SWAT-clad FBI agents wearing, night goggles. And
CNN got there first.
Brandishing, we'll get to that part. Yeah. Brandishing fully automatic M4 assault weapons surround my house. The CNN crew shows up 15 minutes before the FBI.
Wow.
I see this not only later in my security camera, but I see it in real time because I had a hunch they were coming. I was arrested at 6:11. I was arrested at 6:06. At 6:11, a woman at CNN contacts my lawyer by text and says, "Your client has been arrested. He doesn't know yet." He says, "Arrested on what charge?" And she emails him my indictment, which is sealed until 11:30
wow.
that morning. And there has no court markings on it, but when you look at the metadata tags of the document, you have the initials of the man who wrote it, Andrew Weissman.
Wow.
The de facto head of the Mueller investigation.
Wow.
It's a frame-up. You can't violate the false statements law unless your statement not only has to be knowingly false, it has to be material, covering up what underlying crime. It's just like Trump's case in New York. There's no Russian collusion.
Yes.
There is no WikiLeaks collaboration. They produce no evidence to prove that. It's all, as Muggs McGinnis used to say, insinuendo. It's all insinuendo.
So, Coach Wink, his actual question, his first one for you is, how does he feel or how do you feel that Trump commuted his sentence?
How do I feel about his commutation of my sentence?
How does he feel that Trump commuted his sentence?
I think he saw that I was being unfairly persecuted. I mean, he can read. He saw that they basically just wanted to flip me, and I said publicly, I'm not going to lie. I already passed 2 polygraph tests. Now, I understand they're not admissible in court, but the feds use them all the time. I went to the same people who the Florida Department of Law Enforcement uses. 2 different examiners. I answered all the questions about WikiLeaks and Russians and every crazy idea you could come up with. And several people perjured themselves under pressure at my trial. I thank God for my... I prayed hard for my commutation. I was baptized as a Catholic, and I had all my sacraments. I'll tell you a story about my bling. I saw your bling. Here's my bling. It is given to me by my grandmother. In 1989, I was staying at these people's house in New Jersey, and I took it off and I put it in a side table drawer, and I forgot it was there. And I thought I just lost it. 30 years later, I visited the same people, but they had moved to the Hamptons, and they had taken the furniture with them. When I went in the bedroom, I instinctively opened the drawer, and there it was.
Wow.
Who is that a sign from, that you need to change your life?
Well, you don't get signs from anybody other than God.
Right, exactly. So I admit that that I listened to Reverend Franklin Graham. A number of other clerics tried to reach me. They saw what I was going through. They saw the fact that I had finally figured out that I wasn't going to get a fair trial. I was going to be gagged and lynched. And it was, it would be a lot of fun for those haters in the media. It was then that I was redeemed in the blood of the cross. I confessed my sins in an open field with 200 other people. And I've tried to be a different person. Am I perfect? No, very far from it. But I do believe in the power of the Almighty. My wife was diagnosed with very aggressive stage 4 cancer.
Yep.
You and I talked about this because I sent you the regimen that she used.
Mm-hmm.
She's now 3 years cancer-free.
Beautiful.
The doctor said that couldn't happen. That happens only through the healing power of Jesus Christ.
Beautiful.
The day after the 22 election, I was up visiting Brandon House, going on my way to his studio outside of Memphis, and some guy barreling along at 55 miles an hour T-bones the car I'm in, the SUV I'm in. Both the security guards are injured.
Wow.
The car is totaled. I walk away without a scratch. Thank you, Jesus. So I kind of feel there's nothing special about me, but I was born for this moment to be in this fight to save the country. I was born for a purpose. And here's what I have figured out. God doesn't tell you everything at once, right? He tells you things as you need to know them. He reveals them to you as you need to know them. Every day I pray for guidance for that day. God, what should I do today? What do I do about this situation or that situation?
Yeah.
And things change, and God's plan changes, but because he controls everything. So you just have to, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You have to be prepared and pray over the big decisions in your life.
Speaking of revealing things, right? So his question continues, is he optimistic about our future, that so much information has come out about the Mueller report and the Russian hoax, two-tier justice system, as Mueller and others have lied under oath about important things that they're not prosecuted? What's your thoughts on that, and where do we go from here?
Nothing can change unless we get a new president. What we have seen is the unraveling of a hoax before our very eyes, where they propped up Joe Biden. They have known for well over 3 years that he is not fit for this job, that he doesn't have the mental acuity to have his finger on the nuclear
button. It's elder abuse.
The fact that...
It is.
So yeah. when we demand the audio of his interview with Robert Hur, the special counsel, they say, executive privilege, we've given you a transcript. You know where I heard that before? That's what Richard Nixon said about his tapes. Mm-hmm. He said, no, you can't have them. Executive privilege, here's a transcript of them, all of them. He had them transcribed, and the courts determined, and the public determined, that wasn't acceptable. So when they moved to hide that, I realized he has to be in terrible condition. That's why my expectation for him in the debate was low, but he fell below it, if anything. I mean, the poor man was doddering. And this kind of tour with George Stephanopoulos at ABC has not worked. I mean, first of all, remember, Stephanopoulos is the one who got busted giving giant contributions to the Clinton Foundation while he was supposed to be a talking head, an unbiased talking head.
Hillary.
And Trump confronted him on the air about it. He asked Trump a smart-ass question. Is there anything in your life that you really regret, Trump says to him? He says to Trump. And Trump says, sure, of course, George, we've all done things we wish we didn't do, like you, for example. George said, what do you mean? He said, well, I bet you wish you hadn't given that huge contribution to the Clinton Foundation. It's one of the great gotcha moments of all time.
Yeah. He's a great counterpuncher. There's no question about that.
The best.
So Trump the message. I just want to rewind a little bit here. So,
but to go to your broader question.
Yeah.
How's it come out? We don't know that yet. I mean, Trump is going to be the Republican nominee. His legal status, these court cases seem to be breaking to his advantage. He's fought for his due process rights. This drives the left crazy. The left was trying to expedite this at every turn. You remember that special counsel Jack Smith wanted to bypass the appeals court in the interest of time and take the question of the presidential immunity directly to the Supreme Court. And the court said, no, let it go through the normal due process. That infuriated the left because Trump was getting his due process rights. They weren't allowed to railroad this in a quickie fashion. Look, if Trump actually committed these crimes, then why didn't they prosecute him in the first year of Biden's presidency? I'll tell you why. Because they thought that their candidates, Ron DeSantis or later Nikki Haley, were going to be able to beat him. So they thought he was done. They didn't see how he has transformed the grassroots of the Republican Party into being a populist, angry uprising about over the chafing control of big government that just seeks to control our lives and take away our freedoms. They just didn't see it.
Well, Ron DeSantis, I mean, he's kind of like somewhat of an autist. I believe that his wife really wears the pants and runs the show. I've never seen the guy look anybody in the eyes. I've never seen him shake anybody's hand and really mean it. It's very awkward. The guy's extremely weird. Also, he's very unpopular for going to Israel and signing some of the most anti-free speech legislation for the supposedly free sunshine state of Florida for the country that anybody's ever seen happen. And then, of course, mattress ladder climbing Nikki Haley and all of her lies. But everybody knew that Trump was going to be it, and that's what I said when I said I wanted to rewind a little bit here, because Trump, the message, is the message of the people, the populist message of the 2015 coming down the escalator, fake news media. He had a nickname for everybody, whether it be Jeb Bush or anybody else that was on the stage.
Well, and the truth is that the fact that he's so unpredictable and so quirky threw Vladimir Putin and Chairman Xi off tremendously. So he warned both of them. He said all of this publicly. No, you're not going into Ukraine. If you go into Ukraine, you will regret it. I will hit Moscow so hard, as he told at one time, Vlad, you'll be in bed with your Russian whores and the bomb will be coming right in the roof of your house. Now, as he says, did Putin believe I would do that? As long as there was a 10% chance that he thought I would, he wasn't going to move on Ukraine. That's why we have no new wars. He told Xi the same thing. Move on Taiwan, we move on you. You will not do that. Don't try me, Xi. Don't try me. I mean, the guy has ice water in his veins, and they know it. Look, Nixon used this technique. He called it the madman theory. So he would tell Kissinger, go tell the North Koreans, Vietnamese in Paris, this Nixon's a madman. He hates communists. You see what he did to Alger Hiss? He hates communists. I can't control them much longer. You need to make a deal, or he might just push the button and evaporate you. And it is what brought them to an agreement. It's that unpredictable quality that made him a master on the world stage.
You've been an advisor to a lot of people all the way going back to the campaign for, what was it, Ronald Reagan, right?
I worked first for Richard Nixon. Okay. 1968, I was the chairman of Youth for Nixon in Connecticut. 1972 was my first paid gig. I was on the youngest person on the staff of the committee to reelect the president. Two grand juries later, we have Watergate, only the real story of which has only recently come to light in classified documents. The CIA knew all about the Watergate break-in and infiltrated the burglar team. The Senate committee and the special prosecutor knew all about the CIA's involvement, but they concealed it. So Nixon was basically taken down in a silent coup. One of his own, I mean, he set up the opportunity, or the people who worked for him did. I think no one ever proved that he had knowledge of the idea of breaking into the Watergate. It makes no sense, has no logic. There's no political information there worth having. Terrific, terrific book by Nick Bryant, just out now. The Truth About Watergate is the title of it. Lies and the Lies They Tell, something like that. An amazing book. Now, meanwhile, some Washington Post guy named Garrett has published the definitive story of Watergate. And when you leaf through it, it doesn't tell you that the Pentagon was spying on Nixon, that the CIA set him up, none of these things, or that there was a coil girl ring running out of the DNC. All of these things are important elements of that story. We could do an entire show. But it's a takedown, like the takedown of Kennedy.
And the takedown of Trump.
This is one continuous line. So the institutions who killed Kennedy, this is my first book, The Man Who Killed The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Took it to six publishers. Nobody would publish it. Finally, it was published, became a New York Times bestseller.
What was the reason they gave for not publishing
it? They kept saying nobody's interested in this, which is wrong, because everyone's interested in the Kennedy assassination. Yeah. And I make my case. I use eyewitness testimony, fingerprint evidence, and eyewitness evidence in deep Texas politics to make the case that Johnson has the motive, means, and opportunity. But I also tell you the role of organized crime and the CIA and the Secret Service and the FBI and Wall Street and the financial interests and the Israelis and many others at the time. I go into Johnson's attack on the USS Liberty, which is a false flag operation that doesn't get enough news coverage. So, but they take Kennedy out violently. They take Nixon out in a silent coup. They attempt to assassinate Reagan. That full story has never been told, but I can tell you this. John Hinckley is crouching in front of Reagan, shooting upwards. He gets off four bullets. All four bullets are accounted for. None of them hit Ronald Reagan. Reagan is hit from above and behind. That is indisputable. There's never released the report. The head of the examination was one George H.W. Bush. Judy Woodruff, who's on air, reports a man standing on a balcony above the entrance of the Hilton bearing what she says appears to be a gun. Go try to find that on YouTube. It's scrub, but I have it.
I would predict that George H.W. Bush's soul is probably burning by the lake of fire. That guy's a mass murderer.
There is no question. So the full story of Reagan's assassination is a project I'm working on. It'll be my next book. But when that fails, they try to take him out in the Iran-Contra, which is another George Bush, Bill Casey special, where they're essentially flying cocaine into MENA, Arkansas, paying off a friendly governor by the name of Bill Clinton, and using that money illegally to fund the Contras after the Congress has cut off funding in the Boland Amendment. This is a George Bush special. Reagan is telling the truth when he says he knows nothing about this because it's all done behind his back. They try to take him out on that. These are the same institutions that tried to take Trump out.
This is what I wanted to ask you, yes, very, very specifically.
It's the same institutions. Yeah. It's the Central Intelligence Agency. It's the mass media. It is the think tanks and the defense contractors and the permanent government. We have a permanent unelected ruling elite in this country. They're big into pharmaceuticals. We've just made billions of dollars for them there as they manipulated this pandemic against the people. Mm. If you question it, you shouldn't be allowed to speak. But I saw a great documentary on this that a friend of mine, Stu Peters, did that impressed me mightily. It's amazing that their whole world is still collapsing around them, that Trump continues to lead in objective polls, that their Manchurian president, who's a shell of himself, who had two brain aneurysms and brain surgery and was reportedly never the same person again, is their puppet. And now it's collapsing around them. They have my sources tell me that the money is shut off. The House and Senate Democrats are literally shitting a brick. Their committee polls are coming back, and suddenly districts that were never competitive are now within reach for Republicans. Entire states that
But are these Republicans that are just going to sell us out like the rest of them?
Let's win the election. Look, will things be perfect? No, I suspect we're
I just get so frustrated.
But if Biden is reelected, we have no chance. If a Democrat is elected, they have all the levers of government.
But if we've not fixed anything since 2020 and they have the recipe for success that works.
Well, that's part two.
And they're capable of stealing it through pandemics and through fear and through the ballot boxes and ballot harvesting and
Are we going to make it to an election?
So here's the question.
First of all, there
are several elements.
Pull the rug out.
I'm just not that pessimistic. I have the same fear that you do. You're absolutely right. Now you have the Supreme Court in Wisconsin, one of the few places where we made post-election reforms to see if we could have a more honest election. They basically reversed the decision to do away with drop boxes.
This is getting out of control. Our government is sinking $1 trillion in debt every 100 days. That's right, $1 trillion every 100 days. Do you want to bail the government out of debt? Yeah, no, I don't think so. You see, when people worry about the national debt, they often turn to safe haven assets. That's why thousands of people have called GoldCo, the number one rated gold company, so that they can diversify their money with time-tested safe haven assets, physical gold and silver. Today, GoldCo is offering fans of this show up to 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Just call them, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Free bonus silver, a half-ounce silver coin, free gold and silver information kit. What are you waiting for? Safeguard your money with physical gold and silver, just like I did with GoldCo. Call 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD. Or just visit them online at StuLikesGold.com. Again, that's StuLikesGold.com. Everybody knows about Pizzagate. Everybody knows that it's true. Everybody knows about the satanic Hollywood elite pedophiles taking this adrenochrome stuff to try to de-age. It's disgusting. Nobody's ever going to do that. Everybody does want to de-age, though. Now you can. Go to uncancelablehealth.com. It's not a hoax. Uncancelablehealth.com. You've probably seen testimonials on my Rumble channel. This is actual de-aging, reversing the aging process at the stem cell level. Uncancelablehealth.com. Uncancelable. The show continues right now.
Do you want to know where you and I can have our most uncancelable conversation? Manect. That's right. King Bao is now partnered with Patrick Beck David, Valuetainment, and Manect. What's Manect, you ask? Manect is a place for you to get a guaranteed response from me. Choose from the options of either a text, video response, or even set up a call. Download Manect, search for King Bao, and I look forward to talking with you all. Back to the show.
Dropboxes are an invitation for ballot harvesting.
How do they get away with that, though?
Well, because the Supreme Court in Wisconsin is totally political and it's left-wing. Look, in Pennsylvania, good citizens, not the Republican National Committee, citizens in Pennsylvania went and challenged the mail-in ballot statute. It's clearly unconstitutional. It says vote in person. Those are the words in their constitution, in person. It makes an allowance for absentees. These are not absentee ballots. So it is thrown out in the lower courts. That decision on behalf of the people is upheld in the middle courts. Then it goes to their left-wing, politicized state Supreme Court, and they reinstate the mail-in ballot. So giving the Philadelphia machine mail-in ballots is like asking the Boston Strangler to massage your neck. I mean, they're virtuosos when it comes to voter fraud.
So you answered my dad's question as to who do you believe is running the country. Obviously, you said Biden's a puppet, right?
Right.
So if all of this is happening, it's obviously to destroy America. So why would they allow an election?
Because they would like to do it with at least some veil of legitimacy.
But there was no legitimacy to the last one.
But when you control the media, you can hide that fact, and they hid it. And in all honesty, let's be honest. The Republicans were not prepared. They were not prepared with every legal and technical tool allowed by law. Now, when you say that, some woman who styles herself as a progressive documentary filmmaker, but who is really a DNC paid operative, catches me on a video illegally in Florida where I have the audacity to say that. Stone called for honest elections. Headline: Stone reveals Trump's secret plan to steal election. These people they're insane. They're insane. So they distort what you do say because you're clickbait.
Yeah. So when you say they control the media, who's they? Joe Biden?
I think they're more influenced. I think that the media is largely controlled by the globalist forces that control pharmaceuticals, who are buying up our land, who are in league with the Chinese. I mean, the fact that we're letting China buy up hundreds of thousands of acres in the United States, not just near military installations like the ones that Doug Burgum let them buy in North Dakota, very close to the military base there, where some of our most sensitive stuff is stored and enabled.
Crowder did a great
And on top of that, we're letting them buy hundreds of thousands of acres of prime ranch land, farmland, bridges, tunnels, toll plazas, harbors, airports. I mean, local governments are selling to companies that are just fronting for the Chinese. They're literally buying us up. If you are a foreign national and you want to buy land in Canada, you can't. The Chinese are barred from owning land in Canada. Why have we not barred the Chinese and those fronting for them from buying up our own country?
So who's selling us out and why?
Well, in Biden's case, I think we know that it's now been proven that he himself and his members of his family got at least $17 million from foreign countries, Russia, Ukraine, Romania, China, Syria, Mexico, and so on. So they're bought and paid for. But Joe Biden's not going to stand up to China. Just the whole idea that they continue to talk about Russia as if they are our number one global problem when they're not.
No, definitely.
I mean, they're not our friends. I had members of my family mowed down by Russian tanks in Budapest in 1956. So when they say, "Oh, you're just a stooge for Putin," no, I don't like them either. But I think you can at least negotiate with them out of power, and they're rational.
Well, and Putin didn't do that either, by the way.
Didn't do what?
The mowing down that you speak of, that wasn't Vladimir Putin.
No, but it was a Russian regime.
Do you view him as a nationalist? Looking out for the interests of his people, putting his country. Have a conversation with Vladimir Putin about illegal immigration in his country and see how short it might be.
I think that he's still a dictatorship. He's not elected, but he's a brilliant politician, clearly. And he knows to what the Russian people are looking for. You have to assume he has his own pressures. Don't you think there's some right-wing general someplace saying, "Vlad, why are you screwing these people in Ukraine? Why don't you just nuke them?" I mean, I suspect he has his own pressures. Mm-hmm. But he's, you know, I laugh when I see the fake news media constantly tell us that he's weak and he's dying. He looks strong and dangerous to me. That's why I'd rather have somebody like Donald Trump negotiating with him as opposed to, a guy who's not there.
Yeah, I just don't think that he's the biggest threat facing America right now. And as far as, like, media control is concerned, I didn't know that the Chinese were that involved. It looks like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street to me.
I think it's all globalist money.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they deal with the Chinese. But in the end, there's a globalist element in the country that's not elected, and they have had the ability to control multiple presidents until Trump came along.
You brought up Died Suddenly, the documentary that we did regarding the kill shot. So if you had been, there's a lot of people that want this question answered, and obviously Donald Trump isn't in the room, but if you had been his advisor during all of this, when the data started to come out about the shots, or had you viewed that film, what would you have told him about the shots?
The problem is that I don't know what he was told and what he wasn't told. I don't know on what information he had. Here's what I know. The Trump I know, when he has all the information, usually makes good decisions. It's only when he's given partial information or misrepresented information that he makes mistakes. That's been a 45-year experience with him. He's not perfect, but he's no fool. And remember, they're asking him to destroy his signature achievement, the most robust economy in history, on which he's supposed to get reelected and by all rights should. That's a big ask. But they convince him that it's going to be like the plague, the Black Plague. Bodies are going to be stacking up in the streets, Mr. President.
Yeah, I mean, there were propaganda films coming out of China showing people just dying in the street.
And he's not a doctor.
Right.
He's not a doctor.
And he had the doctor lying to him, Fauci, Deborah Birx.
All of them. But I think we all, and the other day, notice in the debate with Biden, when Biden tries to rope him in, he basically said, I didn't make it mandatory, which is as far as you're going to get him, because he's not going to admit to a giant mistake. It's not his style. He doesn't talk about it much, and he does point out that he never made it mandatory, which they did. I don't want to argue with him about it anymore, to be honest with you.
Oh, have you?
I brought it up in a respectful way. He is not going to change what he's saying. But he is just to get to the point of saying it shouldn't be mandatory was a huge difference. And his advocacy for ivermectin, which I can tell you firsthand, works extremely well. And they're all telling him, no, don't ivermectin, you can't say that. He goes out and says it. Why? Because he's telling the truth.
And you had people in the media that were calling it horse paste and dewormer and all. It's a veterinary medicine. I mean, I think even Joe Rogan was, like, trashing it. Yep. Later came
CNN
out.
CNN came after Joe.
Yeah.
Although the guy who invented it gets a Nobel Prize for it, and it's one of the most widely used.
And most cost-effective. It's one of the cheapest. It's the wide variety of things that it does.
It has anti-cancer properties, as I can tell you from my wife's own experience.
But you were a complete crackpot if you mentioned that you were on this stuff, and that is because of all of the trillions of dollars that it would have taken away from big pharma companies like Pfizer and Moderna, who are, by the way, spending all of their resources, exhausting every avenue of killing Americans and keeping us lifetime subscribers to the big pharma industrial complex.
To answer your question a little closer.
Yeah.
The other great concern, obviously, in the wake of the Supreme Court decision, which the Supreme Court sidesteps the question of whether the government can work with big media companies to shut people like Stu Peters and Roger Stone and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson or whoever up. That's very disconcerting. The government has basically, once again, through DHS, is going to be manipulating information. Google is the greatest manipulator of information on the planet in their control of Gmail and their control of the search engines. They're more complicit. That's why I think it's funny to listen to Nicole Shanahan, who's Robert Kennedy's running mate, talk about the dangers of media censorship and manipulation of the internet. I'm saying, wait a minute. Take this up with your ex-husband. Because I think every penny you have is generated through Google, and therefore this mountain of misinformation. It's so non-genuine.
Who do you think is going to be Trump's VP if he got a, you know?
That's an open question. I mean, I will say this. In 2017, he made a final decision at least three times. I mean, he reserves the right to change his mind by not discussing it with the people he's thinking about. And he's a master showman, so he's a master at the tease. If you go back and look, in the Iowa town hall, which I think is CNN, maybe Fox, he says, I've actually picked my VP. I just haven't told them yet. And because it gets noted, but nobody picks it up, and it's not a news cycle, He saves it, and then he does it again recently. Has he really chosen? I don't know. I kind of think not. We all see the same names teased. Some people on that list I like. The other people on that list I don't like. But he's completely capable of pulling somebody out of a hat who you hadn't thought about. And I think he's cast his net pretty wide. He's his own man. I mean, he's, you know, he has a staff. There's a vetting process and so on, but at the end of the day, he makes his own decisions. I think, given the meltdown of the Democrats, I would personally, I've said that I would take Tulsi Gabbard. I've talked to her. I've read her stuff. I've watched her consistently. I think she's a patriot. I think she's for freedom. I think she's been strong on the border, strong against the waste of the war in Ukraine. Strong for gun rights, strong on life. I mean, has she changed some positions? Yes. Ronald Reagan changed some positions. Donald Trump changed some positions. But over time, I'm convinced that she's a person of a great patriotism. She's a former Democrat, helps you get the votes of Democrats, helps you get the votes of independents, outreach to millennials, championship surfer. But more importantly, watch her in the debate with Kamala Harris. She takes her to the cleaners. It's
well, that's not hard.
No, but being sure-footed on television, being sure-footed in debate format, being sure-footed under pressure, that's not an easy thing. She would be very sure-footed. You don't want a candidate who makes a mistake on their first 3 days out on the trail or who inadvertently disagrees with the presidential candidate. That can be, you know, the media then has a ball with those kinds of things. You want a smooth transition into your campaign messaging. You need a running mate who can think on their feet.
Yeah, and if you're elected, you don't want a VP who's going to help and assist in ushering in a coup either. Mike Pence, what do you think of that guy?
Well, he was great right up until the moment he wasn't he?
When did he realize that he was full of shit? Yeah, when did Trump realize that he was full of shit?
Look, I think he was, in many ways, he was your model vice president. Look, there's a lot of leaking out of his office, detrimental to the president. It's about the worst you can say. Pence himself in public was pretty circumspect about acting like the perfect, you know, Trumper. But the truth is, he was always more beholden to the Republican establishment. He was always back in Indiana, took huge contributions from pharmaceutical firms, which is the dominant business in Indiana. So it was not surprising, the final analysis, that he answered the siren song of the establishment when they said, help us get rid of Trump once and for all.
Yeah, he was taking all these big, huge, big pharma donations and all of this money at the same time that Pence was actually also with Deborah Birx and Tony Fauci, the murdering rat, on this coronavirus task force that was advising President Trump. So, of course, you know, Big Pharma's in his ear with all of the money out there on the table saying, you know, you better get these shots rolled out. You better promote these shots. Make sure that the public knows that your life will go back to normal, because remember what hell it was. I mean, these kids had these masks on their faces. They didn't. I mean, everybody just wanted to go back to normal, so they say.
And it was Pence and Reince Priebus who basically set up General Flynn. Yeah. They had to get rid of Flynn because Flynn wouldn't bend. When working for Obama, they said to him, you have to underplay the dangers of Islamic terrorism. He said, well, that would be lying. I'm not doing that. They said, no, we got to downplay this. We got to downplay it. The big problem is the Russians. And he's saying, no, that you can't. You got to tell the people the truth. Why is it then when Obama meets with Trump, Trump is president-elect, and Obama says, Mr. President, you have anybody in your cabinet you want, but the one guy I'd stay away from is that guy Mike Flynn. What greater endorsement could you possibly have?
Yeah, absolutely. Inside of Trump's orbit, you know, we look at guys like the Turtle Lord, Mitch McConnell, and the Pfizer and Raytheon, Lockheed Martin shill, this lying, ostensibly homosexual Lindsey Graham. You've got Jared Kushner. You know, there seems to be like a lot of these deep state establishment subversives that were right next to him. Was that on purpose? Was he doing that on purpose? And do you think that Kushner was subversive?
Let's take it part by part. Trump clearly has figured out what Mitch McConnell was up to, and he's been very vocal about it. There were others. I've named some of them who I think were working across purposes. Kushner was family, and therefore I could not affect what he was doing, and I could not really know on any level what he was doing.
Yeah.
He was deeply involved in a re-election campaign that I think had some fundamental flaws. You know, the Trump world, because of the way he chooses to govern, there are all kinds of people who don't have his or the country's or his agenda's interests at heart.
So how do we get those people the fuck out of the government?
Well, I don't make those decisions. What you have to do is outmaneuver them with the truth. I mean, as I've said, Trump is not perfect. But when he has all the information, I trust him to make a good decision. I certainly trust him over Joe Biden or Robert F. Kennedy.
So do you think, as Stu would say...
We shall see. I suspect that the intrigue to try to undo the Trump agenda will continue into his presidency. Yeah. It will have to be dealt with then.
But so when he's president...
Could we win the election first? Because if we don't, they're right. There won't be another presidential election, but it's not if Trump is elected. It's if a Democrat is elected, we will not have another election.
So if Trump is elected, do you believe that he would admit extreme accountability...
I would be worried more about the future than the past. No, I don't think he's ever going to change what he has to say about something that's in our past. I just want him to be worried if they try to do it again.
No, I mean, do you think he's going to put people in jail and, you know, charge people with treason?
Here's what I think. I think that he will appoint an honest attorney general and hopefully honest deputy attorney generals and assistant attorney generals, and he will let a process go forward in which there's an investigation. This is not revenge. This is about equal protection under the law.
Yeah, the rule of law is...
They talk about it constantly, but they really don't believe it.
People that are in charge of the rule of law in our country,
Where are the deputies?
I saw Zoe Lofgren, this boozed-up old witch who's a congresswoman from the Bay Area, and she actually says, well, Biden should just order the military to take out those three Republican justices on the Supreme Court. Now, if I said that, the FBI would be on my doorstep the next morning.
Of course.
But these people saying, oh, you can disregard. I mean, since when do we have the president of the United States saying the Supreme Court's wrong? That has never happened. Every president has even reluctantly accepted the rulings of a Supreme Court. But when they have a ruling against them, the judges are incompetent, or they're ideologues, or they're crooks.
Or the military should kill them.
When the judge rules for them, that's perfectly all right. So they object to Judge Eileen Cannon, who I don't know and I've never met. But I've read all of the filings in that case. I've kept up with the case. They keep saying she's a Trump appointee, that she shouldn't sit on this case. Well, the Russian collusion hoax was born in Obama's office, yet the judge who sat on my case was an Obama appointee. They didn't seem to have a problem with that. She's incompetent. No, she's not incompetent. She's following the law. She's not qualified. She was an excellent prosecutor, widely regarded by her peers. She's obviously a woman of courage. I said she would dismiss this case. I may yet be right. That's not based on any communication with her. It's based on the fact that I can read.
So when do the sheriffs get activated? There's a big conspiracy going on that the sheriffs are going to get deputized and they're going to start making arrests and rolling up arrests.
First of all, let me say this. The powers of the sheriffs in every state are different. They even differ from county to county. So in many cases, sheriffs, while you may think they have law enforcement capabilities, they don't. They basically deliver subpoenas. There are states where the sheriffs are very powerful. They control jails. They control a court process, the entry to it. There are other states where the sheriffs have no statutory power.
They're glorified door greeters with a gun and a badge.
In some places. Yeah. So that's just a big conspiracy.
I don't think so. I think that the sheriff, the buck stops with the sheriff in a lot of different places. Even in some of the most cesspit liberal places like the state of Minnesota where I have some residency, the county sheriffs there that's where the buck stops. If a sheriff issued an arrest warrant for Tony Fauci and made it extraditable nationwide, that would be... That would happen.
But it wouldn't happen because it's a liberal shithole.
Well, there are a lot of good conservative sheriffs in the state of Minnesota. Remember, like in Minnesota, and I can speak on this educatedly, there was only two counties that didn't go for Trump. One was St. Louis County, which is where Duluth is. The other was Hennepin County, which is where it's Little Mogadishu. It's where Ilhan Omar's voting base was illegally imported by Governor Walz. So, if a sheriff issues a warrant and a judge signs it, or even a judge doesn't even have to sign a warrant. If it's a law enforcement warrant for an investigation, then yes, Tony Fauci could absolutely be extradited. I mean, I think, you know, Roger said this is not revenge, but no, but this is the reinstitution of the rule of law. So if people have committed crimes, they should absolutely be gone after with the full hammer of the law.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Barr was never going to do it. This is probably likely why Hillary Clinton was never locked up. Why wasn't she locked up?
I suspect that because, again, Trump thought he wanted to get the country back to normalcy. He thought that we'd return to our tradition of putting, you know, our elections behind us. He didn't understand that he had an implacable foe deeply embedded in the government that was determined to decapitate him. He never, didn't understand that from the beginning. So I think if he had to make that decision again, I suspect he would have asked his Justice Department to review our activities. In many cases, there were investigations that show that the Clinton Foundation was a play-for-pay operation, or that she had destroyed evidence under subpoena with a bleach bit and a hammer. I mean, they were a protected class because they were part of this ruling elite that controlled both parties. Look how cozy they are with the Bushes. Isn't that odd?
Yeah. Mass murderers. Birds of a feather.
Well, here's what I know. In 2016, when the Bushes refused to endorse Donald Trump, and they all, by and large, endorsed Hillary, Bob Dole, 91 years old, in a wheelchair, insists being driven around Kansas and Nebraska campaigning for Donald Trump. One of the greatest men of the 20th century, a true patriot, never belonged to the Council on Foreign Relations, turned down invitations to Trilateral Commission. True patriot.
Talk about the Council on Foreign Relations and what kind of sway it has in the D.C. Beltway.
I think it is overstated. Let me say this. The Council on Foreign Relations is a private organization of foreign policy elites. The president of it kept trying to schedule a lunch with Donald Trump when he was running for president. Trump kept saying, who is this guy and why does he want to have lunch with me? Richard Haass, I think is his name. I said, oh, he's the Council on Foreign Relations. They're like a far-left foreign policy think tank. They're not really your cup of tea. He said, yeah, I didn't think so. I think the guy once finally, through social connections, scored one lunch with Trump, and Trump was like, not for me. The Trilateral Commission, I think, was a more important and early forerunner to the World Economic Forum in terms of the globalist headquarters and planning platform. These are all the two-party ruling elites that have infiltrated our government. Nixon refused to join the Council on Foreign Relations. Reagan was never a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. They both saw them as elitist, kind of East Coast snobs, but people with real money. Here's what I think. Where we as conservatives, or maybe skeptics, think that they all sit around a big table and they say, okay, you guys do this and you guys do this. It's not that coordinated. But you have all these globalists, so they all think alike. They all act independently. Sometimes they act in concert, but they all think alike. So it's not like they all go to the Bohemian Grove. The Bohemian Grove is a story in itself, but that's the power boys letting off steam. That's not where the serious treason is taking place.
What about the Bilderberg Group?
I think, you know, they all fit. They're the same global elites who would like to have us eating bugs and driving electric cars.
Yeah,
or better, how about no cars at all?
Where is the serious treason taking place?
Today, inside our own government. I mean, we clearly are trying to drive the country into war. I mean, the war in Ukraine is a violation of two different treaties we signed, two different agreements. The Budapest Memorandum, so when the Russians agree to the unification of East and West Germany, we, in return, agree not to push Ukraine into NATO. Which really means not to put missiles on the ground in Ukraine pointed at Russia. That's what this is really about. It's not membership in some fucking club. It's about the missiles and the bioweapons labs, which one of Biden's cabinet members blurts out on TV do exist, because they do exist.
Yeah, that's Victoria Nuland.
Yeah, I
mean, everything she's ever touched has turned into a steaming pile of horse shit.
Which is why she had to leave before, because she began to see it all falling apart. She's the architect of the coup, in which they take out a distasteful but democratically elected president.
2014. Yeah.
The outlawing of all political parties except for Zelensky's, the arrest and silencing of reporters, the shutdown of newspapers, radio stations, television stations, the arrest of clerics, the shutdown of the biggest church in the state. Oh, but we're fighting for democracy. That's not democracy. He's just as authoritarian as Putin, probably more so.
So if Trump gets elected and there is an election, does he arrest Hillary Clinton and Biden?
I don't answer hypothetical questions in politics. It's a mistake. I think you would appoint a Justice Department and they would weigh issues like that that have never been objectively looked at because she always had a pass.
If an objective prosecutor or investigator looked at it, there would be a lot of more people besides Hillary Clinton going to prison for a lot more reasons. Joe Biden is an alleged pedophile.
But even Hillary Clinton is allowed due process. What they wouldn't give to Trump, which they tried to truncate, does have to be afforded to them.
Yeah, it could be a speedy one, though. I mean, I think there's enough evidence that it wouldn't have to be litigated or deliberated for very long.
Was it true that Russia somehow supposedly, I'm thinking about Hillary Clinton as I'm asking this, is it true that Russia got a bunch of adrenochrome that was supposed to come to?
I have no idea.
No, but here's what we do know, because it's been reported in the mass media. She definitely does a deal in which the Russians get 80% of our uranium, control of 80% of the uranium mined in the United States. It's Robert Mueller, the FBI director, who flies the specimen for examination of the uranium for the Russians to look at. This is I think it was a New York Times story. They broke the story. It was a multi-part story. She was busted red-handed.
So what is that crime, if it was one?
Giving a strategic control of strategic material to one of your enemies, selling it to them?
Yeah, specifically, it's giving aid to an enemy.
So what about the Chinese bio labs that were found in California? Somebody gave that person access to have the bio labs there. Who gets punished?
What about the Pentagon-operated, CIA-overseen, U.S. taxpayer-funded bioweapons labs in Ukraine? I think there's over two dozen, according to Newland, who was not even had to be pressed by Marco Rubio, and she was just spilling all the beans. Those bioweapons labs are all over the face of the planet, and every single one of them is engaged in warfare against American citizens at the behest of the intel apparatus, including the CIA, which does, no matter what anybody tells me, I will never believe, does absolutely carry out illegal operations against Americans on our soil.
So we reaffirm our commitment not to push Ukraine into NATO and the Minsk Accords, and now we've done exactly that. You saw Biden bragged about this. First of all, he said that he I forget how he put it, but he took care of Putin. How has Putin been taken care of? Putin is as dangerous as he was before Joe's presidency. Yet he admits to the expansion of NATO, which is something we've agreed not to do. Now, Blinken has announced
Joe Biden's a whole lot more dangerous to Americans than Vladimir Putin is. Vladimir Putin isn't chopping their dicks off and mutilating them with fake doctor surgeries or forcing injections in their arms.
And Antony, your Secretary of State,
Blinken.
Mr. Blinken,
yeah.
Who's no better at the guitar.
Secretary of State.
He's no better at the guitar than he is at statecraft. He's already announced that in September, Ukraine will be joining NATO. That's a red marker that Putin's been very clear about. So you asked me about an election. Let me ask you a question. Will we have a world war by then? Because we may very well have so. These people are entirely capable of starting a world war as a distraction because they cannot risk losing power. Trump is an existential threat. They can try yet again to slow him down or to dilute his agenda, but he's an existential threat because he's got their number.
He is, but I think more overwhelmingly So when I look at Trump, I look at Trump the man differently than I look at Trump the message, because Trump the message, I believe, is more important. And that's because there are freedom-loving, liberty-loving Americans in this country, America First patriots, who absolutely are a whole lot more powerful than just one man, unified as a population of the aforementioned people that will do anything to protect their families and their God-given inherent inalienable rights. And so when I look at what the existential threat is to these people, it's the masses realizing how dangerous our government actually is and the BS that they're pulling off, which is why a false flag that'll make 9/11 look like child's play is in the works. There's dirty bombs and weapons caches all over this country right now by the illegal invaders that our government is pumping in via Alejandro Mayorkas, a traitorous.
All of these are the reasons why you cannot make a prediction about the election. I mean, the truth is that the Republicans have to be much better prepared legally and technically to detect fraud and be able to prove it quickly and document it than they were last time. we'll see whether that happens. There are a bunch of good people working very hard to try to make sure it does happen.
Who in the And then there's this bird flu thing underlying, which hasn't quite boiled to the top yet, but they've given us precursors to this, and there's already shots ready for it, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you have wars on pandemics, you have a war against Russia, you know, you have a war on disinformation, you have potentially a kinetic confrontation with Russia, all these different things. Who makes the call? Yep, elections would be a distraction. We're just doing away with that.
I don't think they'll do that because they realize that they want this fake veil of legitimacy. So as long as they can say, as we say today, well, Biden was elected. He got 81 million votes. That gives him the moral authority to be the president. Could they call it off? Sure they could. But I've read the War Powers Act. It's very hard to find the wording that allows them to do it. On the other hand, they're capable of anything, as I've said. So, look, I've done this before in interviews with Alex Jones and others. Assassination, yes, something we have to pray. I pray for the safety of Donald Trump and his family.
Yeah.
They're entirely capable of that. Another pandemic, yes, entirely possible. A world war, entirely possible. A false flag terrorist attack on American soil. Given all the illegals we've let into the country, it's a miracle it hasn't happened already. I mean, known terrorists, a miracle it hasn't happened already.
They already tried to. The media didn't talk about this. Roger, did you hear about these two illegals that that tried to ram through Quantico, Virginia, where the FBI trains and all that?
I have read an interesting number of incursions at military bases across the country, including that one.
Yeah.
And then, as you're well aware of, food processing companies just catching on fire.
Isn't
getting
that weird?
Getting hit by airplanes, being shut down.
Yeah. Over 100.
But it's all coincidence.
It's over 100.
It's as coincidental as over 1,000.
Well, control
athletes.
People's food, and you control them.
Dropping dead, dying suddenly. Which, by the way, happened again very recently. Minnesota Vikings young player died suddenly.
Yep.
There's only one thing in common.
looking at these long stringy things in your bloodstream, that was just.
Who do you hold responsible for that? Like, if we're talking,
let's go to the chief fraudster, Anthony Fauci, who sells a canard.
I think that's where you start, but yeah. I think there's.
It's the whole
above him.
It's the whole health. It's the whole health bureaucracy above
the fake,
him.
Yeah, criminal, murderous bureaucracy.
And the worst part is, and this is perfectly legal, Fauci and his wife are allowed to make tens of millions of dollars on this whole thing.
Yeah.
So there's not even a conflict of interest. So he can mandate policies and force people to use products that make he and his wife millions and millions and millions of dollars. I'm sorry.
Millions of people die.
Right. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't believe the law even allows this, but it does.
Well, the law also allows, like I said, homosexuals to rub their dicks in the faces of children right out in front of the police and to celebrate something called Pride during the entire month of June. As far as I'm concerned, you know, if you're convicted of something like that, you should be strung up. I don't think that we should be tolerating pedophilia behavior in this country.
But you go out and mention George Washington, you know, people will tell you, well, he was a slaveholder. No, they're this whole conscious effort to erase our history, to bury our heritage. It's amazing. I talk to student groups and young Republican clubs, college Republicans. I do this because I was a young Republican. I was in the college Republicans. I like talking to students about the message of freedom. But their eyes glaze over when you say basics like Abraham Lincoln. They don't know who that is.
They don't even teach history anymore.
Right, exactly. Yeah. This is important probably only to me, but I say Barry Goldwater. Nobody knows who that is. He is the leader of the anti-establishment movement that took back the Republican Party the first time. Trump is the guy who took it back the second time.
What do you think about the Federal Reserve?
I've said it before, countless times, and I'll say it again. The world is becoming more and more unstable by the day. First, a war on our children. Now, a war on our money. When will it end? The government's corruption is even more prevalent today, causing the state of our spiraling economy to be normalized. I'm not waiting around to find out how much worse it could get. That's why I decided to protect my money with gold and silver. Now, you know me. I only partner with the best companies who I feel are doing the right thing for the American people. GoldCo has helped thousands of Americans place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. They're my top choice. And right now, they're offering you up to a 10% match in bonus silver with a qualified account, just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Network. So don't wait. Call them today, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or just visit them at StuLikesGold.com. Again, StuLikesGold.com. Don't let this chaotic world get in the way of your livelihood. Protect your money before it's too late. Call them, 855-706-GOLD, or visit them online at stulikesgold.com. We've heard stories and testimonials about professional golfers that lost their whole career due to injury and then they got their career back. We have heard about 70-year-old men who've been bald for 15 years, all of a sudden having a full head of hair again. We've had people with open wounds from botched surgeries, 3 months in pain on all kinds of painkillers completely in 2 days, get off of these painkillers and watch the wound close in just 7 days. We heard about a kid that was in a tragic accident, just 26 years old. He was paralyzed the whole right side of his body. No longer is he paralyzed. He's water skiing, he's downhill skiing, all of these things. Western medicine couldn't help him, but LifeWave could. The X39 patch, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. Go to uncancelablehealth.com. Again, uncancelablehealth.com. We're sitting down with Myron Gaines. Uncancelable continues right now.
You want to know what I'm sick of? Yes.
Wow. Okay. So they actually did it. They deleted my TikTok account. Gone.
Ooh, you got your TikTok taken away. Welcome to the fucking cool club. You're fucking welcome for setting the blueprint that a lot of you are monetizing now. Because people like me can't even exist on the platforms that you create on. Which is why Instagram banned me from going live for 30 days. We should have right around 20 days left. You want to know what else I think is stupid? This.
I am not a fruit person, okay? But this does not seem right to me. What is going on with the watermelon this summer? Have you seen this?
So I cut watermelons for my kids, and they're all bringing it right back, saying they don't like the texture. I've seen enough videos of people posting rubbery watermelon. I can't believe I got one. I got a rubbery watermelon. The texture is so weird.
How did you not know that you had a fake watermelon when there's no seeds in it? Like, people wonder why they're getting sick and why we're more unhealthy than we've ever been when they eat shit like this. Like, it's not even food. You want to know what it is? Ace Manin. Did you know Ace Manin is the world's most researched natural molecule on the planet? No. Probably the same reason Pfizer wanted to hide the science behind the you-know-what for 75 years from you. We don't hide our science. Most of it can be found in this book, as it's been researched for the last 25 years, to show what it does in the body, which is turn on the immune system better than anything else. It's so effective that in less than a year, it took Skunkle Phil from this here to this.
Because I'm in much clearer head space. I don't have fucking medication. I'm not on any prescription drugs. They would have me on a fucking 10 of them right now if I listen to my doctor.
So if you want to de-age, lower inflammation naturally, while also increasing stem cell production by up to 400%, you should check out Alavea. And oh, by the way, every time you take one of the products, nourish children with the same Ace Manin technology. Because after donating it, Sam Castor realized he could eradicate malnutrition using a buy one, nourish two model. When after 1 year of donating to an orphanage in Romania that was losing up to 30 kids a year, after 1 year of donation of Ace Manin technology, no child died. And when we get 3 million of you to decide to put down the bullshit and the fake food and biohack your body with food technology from actual science, we can effectively eradicate malnutrition from the planet. So instead of following influencers like this, you should go to Alavea.com, get yourself some food technology, save yourself some money, get healthy, and save children. And at checkout, use the code SAVEKIDS. That's SAVEKIDS, all one word. And for an additional 10% off, use the promo code KINGBOW10. Back to the show.
What do you think about the Federal Reserve? Do you think that...
It should be audited immediately. My views are very close to Ron Paul. It's kind of interesting. Prior to Trump, the last Republican I voted for in the Florida presidential primary, before I briefly left the party of Lincoln for the Libertarian Party, believe me, they're even crazier than some of the Republicans, was Ron Paul. And then I switched my registration. Because of they changed Florida law, I couldn't switch back in time to vote for Donald Trump, although I did switch back. I would have voted for him, but I didn't. Because Charlie Crist kept switching parties and running, they changed the party registration laws, so it takes a longer period of time for your change of registration to take effect. The Fed is, where's the Fed in the Constitution? I can't seem to find the section on the Fed.
Seems to be a criminal racket.
It seems to be a creation of those around government.
Those occupying government.
Manipulating our currency. I would close the Fed, but first I'd do an audit.
Who owns our country, Israel or China?
I think we're owned by many foreign entities. We're owned by some domestic entities. I think they're all enormously influential.
Like BlackRock and Vanguard?
Those would be excellent examples. Bill Gates, one of the most evil individuals on the face of the planet. It bothers me.
Both of those places are headquartered on Rothschild Boulevard in Tel Aviv.
Oh, jeez.
Look, so Governor Doug Burgum, who I met, seems like a perfectly nice guy. We both spoke at the Collier County Lincoln Reagan dinner. I really wasn't very familiar with him. I'd seen his debate performance. I do a little digging, and I find out that his company was bought for almost $2 billion by his close friend, Bill Gates. And he's and that he holds Gates in high regard. He also signed a transgender bill. He signed a green energy bill, and he allowed the Chinese to buy this land close to the North Fork's military base. And now they're talking about him for vice president. I would be unhappy with that. I will support whoever the president chooses, but I hope he does not choose that fellow.
How has Bill Gates not been charged for treason then?
Bill Gates?
Yeah, how has he not been charged for treason? How come no one is going, we all, you got Roger Stone.
Because your government chooses not to even investigate those people.
Yeah.
Because it's
a corporate crime syndicate. Right. These people are all blackmailed and controlled. They have handlers. I mean, you saw Thomas Massie just came out and said that every single congressman has an AIPAC handler.
So what do the I know we're talking. I know you say
we have
vote.
To win the next election. The answer to your question remains the same. If you don't do that, there's nothing you can do. You have to start someplace. Taking back executive power and seeing its intelligence use, seeing it being used in a way that benefits the country, would be a start. It's the only place to start. There is no other option to that.
So what happens if...
I don't answer hypothetical questions. So my point is, those who say we need to turn out as big a margin as possible, make it too big to rig, we got to beat the cheat, noble thought, not wrong, we need as many votes as we can possibly get, as many legal, legitimate votes as we can possibly get. Yes, go sign up all your cousins and your friends and your relatives and everybody who thinks like you do and loves this country and is afraid for our future. That's part of it. Then we're going to have to examine the actual process of illegals voting, people who don't exist voting, people who are registered to post office boxes, which is illegal voting, where you need chain of custody on the voter mail where it is legal. As I said, we need to use every legal and technical tool within the law to ensure we have an honest election.
Why don't we just do paper ballots? What's the argument against that?
There is no argument against it. You do 38 million votes in France, cast in France, by the end of the election night, they have a count and they know the result. It's not difficult. We choose not to do it because the process allows for these machines. I wrote a piece for The Hill, just before the election in 2016, in which I said, I fear these machines will be manipulated, which is easily done with a $5, $15 device you can get at Best Buy.
And this is 2016. Yeah.
And I was excoriated by the left. Mm-hmm. David Brock attacked me for not believing the machines and this hoax about the machines. Then when Trump won, and you'll recall, Hillary Clinton kept saying to Trump, will you accept the outcome of the election? Will you accept the outcome of the election? Trump wasn't having none of it. He kept saying, sure, if it's honest, I'm not going to certify something I haven't seen. Then she loses, and she immediately files for recounts in Pennsylvania and Michigan. And what is her reason that you're required to give by law? That the machines have been manipulated. What I was excoriated for saying 3 weeks previously.
Fast forward to 2020. What did Hillary Clinton think about the machines?
Oh, they
look perfect.
All these Democrats who whined about the machines in 2016, who whined about them in 88 when Bush beat Gore, yep. All the people always whined about the machines now think the machines are flawless. They're perfect.
So many people think that voting can be fixed with the blockchain. And also some people are thinking that Twitter, there's a verification system on Twitter where you can upload your ID.
I wouldn't do that, by the way.
Well, there's a lot of people who are thinking that Elon is trying to create the WeChat of China here. I mean, he's even openly said he's modeling X off of WeChat, and you can do everything on WeChat. You can buy things. Yeah. You can do everything, right? It's social media, but it's also your identity. Everything's online. So could you see Twitter or X being used through a verification system? Or the blockchain?
I'm the least technical person that you know. I can barely operate my own cell phone.
I think anything other than paper ballots is complete bullshit. Well, because somebody can manipulate
paper ballots all on one day. Why is it taking 3 weeks to get results?
Right.
The election has
because
one
they're
day.
Cheating.
We've always had absentee ballots. If you have a legitimate reason, you can get an absentee ballot. You're an invalid, or you can prove that you're some. That's the way the law has always worked. But early voting, drop boxes, these are all, and particularly mail-in voting, as Bill Barr himself says in an interview with Wolf Blitzer, the man with the worst breath in the world, on CNN. Even Bill Barr says, yeah, mail-in voting is an invitation for fraud. Hmm. Now, he seems to have changed his views on that after he saw the results of the election.
What are all these people in our government with this dual citizenship? That's kind of new, that has really come to light here over the last, I don't know, 24 months. How is that even allowed?
I knew, for example, that Dr. Oz, who ran for the Senate, was a citizen of both Turkey and the United States. Mm-hmm. It's the first time it came to my attention. I thought it was odd.
You think that should be allowed?
It's a good question. I haven't thought much about it. I'll say this. You should not be in government and have dual citizenship. I think that would be a clear conflict of interest, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think Beautiful. It would. Absolutely. I think it should be outlawed immediately.
Beautiful.
Nobody could have said it better than you did. We got off the elevator. We were walking down the hallway, and you said, Stu, we are surrounded by, and you named off what we are surrounded by in our government. Go through that list again.
It was ad hoc, but we're surrounded by communists, Marxists, terrorists, traitors, foreign powers, an intelligence apparatus, Wall Street. I mean, it's basically every criminal institution that you can imagine, and they're desperate not to be held accountable, which is why they have to stop Trump. Is he perfect? No. But he's a hell of a lot better than anyone else we've had in my lifetime.
So we know this, and the punishment for all of that should be?
Extreme accountability. Yeah, I mean, after these people are convicted, I mean, kids died. And I have the biggest problem with that, because I have a platform that really, like, when you said you wake up every day and you ask God, guide me today, what should I do today? I do the same exact thing. And all I keep hearing is protect these kids, fight for these kids.
Exactly.
He fights for kids, quite literally in the ring, as an MMA fighter.
But we know, for example, that Trump did a number of things to go after and shut down the sex traffickers. And we know that Joe Biden repealed all of those executive orders as soon as he came. So to me, there's an example of good faith.
Yeah, we also know that Joe Biden's daughter wrote in a diary that he molested her, took inappropriate showers with her.
Yep.
We know a lot about the sexual depravity of the Biden family, and a lot of sex crimes that have been alleged that seem to have a whole lot of merit to them. We know about Hunter Biden and Joe's dealings with this Burisma company, the firing of a special prosecutor.
The work done by Marco Polo, the Marco Polo USA people.
Garrett Ziegler.
Yeah. This guy's done yeoman work. He's taken the entire Hunter Biden laptop. He's published it. He's annotated it. There's no interpretation. He just tells you who people are, like they're footnoting. And they blurred some of the images because you couldn't have it in a family situation. I mean, it's really
disgusting.
Graphic.
So,
this guy's a freak.
Can we all agree that maybe there's people in government who are Satanist pedophile fucks?
Yeah, well, obviously. I mean,
I want to be very clear. Satanist pedophile fucks.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course there is, yeah. And they're being influenced by outside Satanist pedophile fucks who want legal, unfettered sexual access to children.
To children, yes.
That's the goal of a lot of these forever wars, for example, which is why we spent 20 years in Afghanistan.
And why the border's open. Warlords
to rape little boys.
And why the border's open.
Yes, of course. Where do they disappear to once they get to the interior of the country via a first-class airfare in a few weeks at a four- or five-star
hotel? They're dropping kids off at abandoned houses.
Look, this is unfortunately none of this is new. In my book, The Bush Crime Family, I detail George H.W. Bush's administration involved with a child sex trafficking ring out of the Midwest. That is the whole called Franklin scandal, which got very little coverage.
Oh yeah,
there is a and then the.
How many years ago was your book?
That would have been 2015. And then in my book on the Clintons, they basically take the advantage of the Haitian, it's a hurricane, I guess it is, or an earthquake, I guess. And they traffic all of these children. And then they cover up for those who do the trafficking. So the powerful elites have been involved in child sex trafficking since the beginning of the time. They were just, they were able to hide it better.
I don't want to call Hillary Clinton elite. Fuck Hillary. Yeah. I don't want to call her elite.
You know, a lot of people know of you, and a lot of people know your name. A lot of people know that you're deeply involved with the political apparatus in this country and campaigns and administrations. A lot of people understand that you're still working right now. You're volunteering for Trump. You're dealing with some other candidacies. You can talk about that if you want to. But a lot of people don't know about who Roger Stone is. Now, we have had some conversation, and you can tell me to fuck off if you want not to have these conversations, but your life went from, I would say, somewhat of a degenerate lifestyle to saved by Jesus Christ.
I would never have guessed that.
That would be completely accurate. Look, I was I had drifted very far from the Lord. Yeah, I was, as I said earlier, I was baptized as a Roman Catholic.
Yeah,
my mother was very strict about our religious upbringing.
At what age were you baptized?
All my sacraments. I had my Holy Communion. My confirmation. I was married in the church.
Oh, okay.
And then I wandered. When I got to Washington and I was living a high life, I did a lot of crazy things. Things you do when you have a lot of money and a modicum of power. And then when the Mueller investigation sought to frame me and I realized that I was going to be silenced and lynched, I made a vow to change my life, and the Lord answered my prayers.
Wow.
And I've had multiple miracles in my life, not just the commutation of my sentence, ultimately the presidential pardon. January 6th, I never leave my hotel. I hear somebody in the bathroom say, don't go to the Capitol. I swing open the door. There's nobody there. I close the door. I continue showering. A voice says to me again, don't go to the Capitol. I look, who's coming in the bathroom? There is no one in the bathroom. Yes, call me crazy. I didn't go to the Capitol, never left my hotel grounds. And any claim that I knew in advance about, condoned, or participated in any way in any illegal activity on January 6th or any other day is just false. It's a manufacture. No, I didn't have meetings with the Proud Boys the night before. No, I didn't meet anybody in a garage. No, yes, remember the Oath Keepers delivered my suitcase to my room. That's not a conspiracy. The FBI investigated all of this, but still you have the fake news mavens who want to say, oh, January 6th, Roger Stone. No, I was never in a war room in the Willard. If there is a war room in the Willard, I don't know about it, and I was never in it. But this woman, Cassidy Hutchinson, says on national television under oath that the president directed Mark Meadows, his chief of staff, to call Roger Stone and General Flynn to ask them on the afternoon of the 5th what's going to happen on the 6th. That's perjury. There is no such call, neither from Flynn or me. I've never talked to Meadows on the phone or any other way. I think I met him once in a green room when he was a congressman. So that's just all made up. Then she goes on to say that Meadows wanted to go to a war room in the Willard for a meeting, but she dissuaded him, and he later called Stone and Flynn for a download on how the meeting went. Second lie. If there's a war room in the Willard, I don't know about it. I was not involved in it.
See, all of this colluding and conspiring, this all happens. Like, this is Washington, D.C. on a daily basis.
Right. So she perjured herself. She's gone back and tried to correct her testimony. Will she be prosecuted? The whole January 6th committee thing is a kabuki theater thing in which they alter videos, they alter your voice. It's made for Hollywood.
Yeah.
The video of me that they leaked to CNN has a completely different visual than the video they showed during their hearing. And the voice track is very easily detectable as being generated by AI.
Crazy.
January 6th was made by Hollywood, really. I mean, if you look at it as a whole.
They let the people in.
If they want to shut down the Capitol, by the way, how easy is it for them to do that? Is anybody getting in there if they really don't want anybody in there? No, nobody gets in there unless they are invited.
Somebody opened those giant doors from the inside.
Exactly
somebody.
Exactly what they
somebody.
Did.
Somebody.
Yes.
Their power operated. Somebody had to open them.
Who do you think set up January 6th?
It appears to me to be a coalition of Nancy Pelosi, the Capitol Hill Police, the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI.
Schumer.
I think it's a very clever setup, but the more they deny it, I mean, we can see with our own eyes some of these videos that prove that yes, there were people being waved into the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Given guided
Biden denied that
by cops.
Come on,
in uniform. There's audio video of them standing there saying, "You guys, come on in. I just want to make sure that you're all peaceful."
Yep.
And these guys were literally on selfie tours. largely they were very just peaceful people, but yet they crushed them on the Capitol steps, pastors that were praying that never went into the building. They completely crushed them. They took their lives and completely dismantled their lives over this thing, and it was a brilliantly thought-through process because not only can you then target Donald Trump, you can target his followers, you can persecute several hundred of them, you can have the FBI putting laser dots on the heads of their children, scaring the shit out of them, resulting in divorce, the loss of their businesses, the complete disruption of their lives. They'll never get gainful employment again because now they're convicted feds. They're held without due process in these gulags without a trial or without contact with their attorneys for as long as they did. And what does that do largely? That says to anybody who would question their government or otherwise have a dissenting voice to the official narrative to sit down and shut the fuck up because
we will
make an example out of you.
We will come crush you.
We will hunt you down. And we will crush you just like they want to crush the ethnic Russians in Ukraine.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what they practiced all these tactics in 2014 that they used here in 2020. All of them.
But that's why, you know, I can understand his sentiment about voting. I can understand it. We have to do something to get behind the people that we believe can make change.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a pessimist. You just, I mean, look at Russia. Look at Russia, bro. Look at Putin just met with Kim Jong-un.
Okay.
Why are they meeting?
World leaders meet.
Very true.
You know, there's an alternative coalition being developed that doesn't value the dollar, that doesn't have the dollar as its
BRICS,
And why should they?
Why should they? I mean, the most fascinating thing about Tucker Carlson's long interview with Putin, which I watched a couple times, is the number of presidents who told Putin that they would agree to certain things only to come back and either betray him or just tell him, after I talk to my people, meaning the CIA, I can't do that. Putin said, well, maybe I should deal directly with your CIA. Why do I need you as a middleman? That's a stunning, if true, and it probably is, that's a stunning comment.
Yeah. I think he killed that interview. I think
well,
he did great.
Certainly, he does a lot of stonewalling. He sets the table with a lot of history. At a certain point, I get lost.
He definitely knows his history.
There's no question. He uses it to rationalize what he's done and what he's been through with various American presidents. I mean, look, I want somebody as tough as he is negotiating with him, and that ain't Joe Biden or Antony Blinken.
Who do you think is really running?
That was my next question.
It's an excellent question. So the people around Biden, most of them, worked previously for Obama.
Valerie Jarrett.
Right. And some of the key people have left because they saw this careening off track. You notice that Victoria Nuland, who we discussed earlier, she's headed for the tall grass because she sees that this is not.
Hopefully for a dirt nap.
I still think that Obama is probably the single most influential person in the country. We all seen the video where he says to Colbert, wouldn't it be cool if I could hang out in my basement in my sweats with a microphone connected to an earpiece? Notice
Biden
kept touching his ear. What was that about during the debate?
Well, we've seen the earpieces. Right. Nobody can deny that.
Right. So it is, I think they're the most influential. Hillary has to be watched because she's trying to find some way to chisel her way back in. The Obamas don't like the Clintons any more than we like them, frankly. They're not beloved in the Democratic Party. Nobody wants to revisit all of their scandals again. But Hillary, if Kamala Harris does become president, if Biden steps down, Kamala Harris became president, and she put Hillary Clinton on the ticket, Kamala would need a food taster if they won the election. I mean, that woman is dangerous.
Do you agree with Alex Jones' assessment that Biden will step down in the next 2 weeks, and Gavin Newsom will come in? And
I've made a lot of predictions about this. I really thought that they would by now have gone to Michelle Obama. That was kind of
Big Mike.
That would be the most popular candidate in their party. That's the one candidate who could galvanize those who right now want Biden to go and those who want him to stay.
Well, yeah, because you'd have the blacks and the trans.
You could have everything. you could have everything. I've always said I never that said that one. She. I said that she would be the nominee. I never said she would run. I never said she wanted to run. I believed, perhaps I'll prove to be incorrect, that they could draft her, that they, at the end, could convince her you got the best stop to stop Trump, and we got to stop Trump because we don't all want to go to prison.
I think it's being telegraphed. I think it's very, very obvious that Big Mike Robinson, Michelle Obama, whatever you want to call him these days, I think that will absolutely be the person that they have to usher in order to...
Over Gavin?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, here's why.
Gavin is a white male. You can't have a white male. First of all, you have a black woman. Let me say it again. You have a woman of color who is next in line for the presidency. So if Biden goes down, under all previous norms of American politics, she would be in line. Now, this is if he just announces he's not going to run, but he remains as president. If he resigns as president or he dies, she would become president. What you have right now is very much like the situation we had with Woodrow Wilson. He was elected president in 1912. In 1919, he has a debilitating stroke. He's physically and mentally completely disabled. They hide him. No one sees him for the latter years of his presidency. His wife is running the country, just like Dr. Jill. When it's time to sign a document, she puts a pen in his hand and moves it across the paper.
Wow.
I think we have an analogous situation now. What we have now is a national security problem. We've got a guy who's addled with his finger on the button. This guy should step down immediately. He should step down immediately for the good of the country, never mind running for re-election.
I think it's going to have to be Obama because, and I'm talking Big Mike, Michelle, because you've alluded to this. There has to be some semblance, some illusion of a fair process. And you could employ this corrupt media to deliver the message and program the American people and just gaslight them and brainwash them and just convince them of all of the reasons why Michelle Obama would be the favorite, why she was so popular, why her rise to power, you know, all of these things, and why she was able to come through and beat
The one person you have to have on board for that is Michelle Obama, who's got a very cushy life, and I don't think she has any interest.
She said no to it. She's all
right. It doesn't matter. So did Barack.
I understand.
Well, until it's done, nothing is done in politics till it's done.
Yeah, but think about...
But look at the way that those in the media, the same people who've been propping Biden up, now have turned on him with a viciousness to push him aside.
Nobody's fucking with
Trump. The New York Times and CNN and the networks are starting to say, you got to go. Well, it's time to go.
Yeah, those orders probably came from Barack.
No question about it.
Yeah.
Nobody is touching Trump right now.
Who immediately puts out a statement after the disaster debate supporting Joe, but who's working furiously behind the scenes to remove him. The Schumer and Jeffries are shitting their pants, as I said earlier. They're looking at polls showing them losing seats. The donor class has shut down the money. The convention is 50% of the delegates are non-white. And one-third of them are controlled by the most left-wing labor unions in the country. Mm. So who would be their favorite candidate in an open convention in which you just had a draft? I argue it would be Michelle Obama. She would certainly be the most popular. If she absolutely refuses it, and I think she probably now will, then they'll settle for Kamala Harris.
You know, if that happens, this is how Trump wins. He starts out the debate against Michelle Obama and just calls her Big Mike.
Yeah, just show me your wiener, get it over with.
Bro, if he just says, so Big Mike... breaks the internet.
Yeah.
There's no way that...
Well, you know, it's Michelle interesting. Joel Gilbert has produced both a film and a documentary on Michelle, and he's done deep, deep research, interviewed her teachers, her boyfriends, and so on. He does not believe that she's a man.
Yeah, that's, I've had him on the show before.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
I don't believe my lion eyes.
I think the media, if you made that the centerpiece of your campaign, I think the media would crucify you.
Yeah, I don't think it's a joke.
I don't either. And I also don't think, I now am beginning to believe that only the first half of my prediction that Biden would not be the nominee is true. Still believe that. Perhaps I'm wrong about Michelle. We'll see.
No, I think you're dead nuts on.
I still may be correct. It's just too early in the process to say. But Biden is holding on by a thread. I mean, this is his rehabilitation tour with George Stephanopoulos is not going well.
Oh, it's going terrible.
Well, that's because they can't expose
the CNN him. Reporter just came out. The black one just came out and said, yeah, they screened their questions to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he still fumbled them.
During that debate that we were watching, and I said on my show going up to this, I said, if Donald Trump wants to hands down just eliminate him as a possible even candidate anymore, all he has to do, and he holds all the tools for this, and he still does moving forward should this become some sort of a contested election, just bring in Ashley's diary.
Yes.
Just read from it.
Yes.
Bring in Hunter Biden's laptop from hell and just start.
Why not play the rough game if they're indicting?
Well, I think
they're doing all this.
I think they probably would. I mean, at this juncture, of course, you want on one hand to run against Biden because he's such an incompetent candidate. On the other hand, the danger for our country is too high.
Yeah, it's not a game to be played.
I mean, the guy's got to go.
What do you mean by that? So,
if we were looking at it from a solely partisan point of view, I'd rather run against Biden.
Yeah.
Because he's mentally incompetent. But
you're saying
that same mental incompetence puts the country at risk as long as he's got the finger on the button.
I know, but you're saying don't read the diary out loud?
He should. Right? I mean, I think.
I think he has to go for the good of the country.
Yeah.
Even though that he's my preferred opponent. I would prefer to run against him. You've got all this evidence.
Politically, you want to run against a weak candidate. But who the guy is that's currently leading our country could get us all blown up.
And Kamala's responsible for the same policies that this guy.
Do you think that Trump should read from Ashley Biden's diary and from the Hunter Biden laptop?
Too early to say. Who's he going to be debating against?
Biden.
Well, I think all of that stuff is fair game. Anything that's in the public record is fair game. But we don't know whether Biden's going to be the nominee at this point.
Fair enough.
I mean, there's a cornucopia of information. One interesting thing I noticed. In the interview with Stephanopoulos, Biden says, gives as an excuse for his performance, well, Trump was yelling at me after they cut his microphone off and it distracted me. I'm not using that as an excuse. Go back and look at the debate. That didn't happen a single time. Not a single time did Trump crosstalk him. Not once.
He forgot.
No, he just lies. Trump told 47 lies. This is a guy who said, among other things, no member of the military died on my watch.
Oh,
a
that
lie.
Was a bad one.
Yeah, nobody that was a bad aborts. One. No woman aborts babies in the 8th or 9th month. A lie. I mean, the guy tells lie after lie after lie. Inflation was 15% when I came in. It was 6.3. I mean, the guy who just told serial lies in this debate wasn't Donald Trump. It was Joe Biden.
Yeah, and you don't even know if he knows that he told these lies. I mean, his cognitive decline is just. It is so.
You don't wish that on anyone.
What I love is this Zelig-like quality that he has. So if he's speaking to a group of Puerto Ricans, you know, I grew up Puerto Rican. He's speaking to a group of Jews. I grew up in the synagogues in Wilmington. There's no evidence of that.
Yeah.
He's talking to a bunch of truck drivers. You know, I was a truck driver. This guy is so full of shit. It's beyond belief. Whatever you are, he was once. It's amazing.
I was once a guy with a microphone and a platform, just like you were. I make the case for it doesn't matter who the candidate is. It doesn't matter who is campaigning against Trump. It doesn't matter really, honestly, who's campaigning on either side. I don't think we need more political candidates. I think we need another William Wallace in this country, and they have found the formula to steal it. If anybody is going to sit here at this table or anywhere out there in the viewing audience and deny the fact that leading up to the 2020 election, you saw Joe Biden that it was almost comical the way that they made him trot or jog out to these rally stages to make him look youthful, all these
energetic, yeah.
And energetic, and he would like prance, and he could hardly get around. Then he had all of these like circles drawn on the ground, you know, perpetuating this COVID scam. Circles were on the ground, like I don't know, were you summoning the mothership here? It was ridiculous. And then they had like 12 people in the audience. 11 of them were probably staffers.
Shills.
I couldn't believe that. I mean, was that real?
Yes, it
was
real. He came down the steps and he looked like he shit his pants, and then he took a little bit of a jog and he got up there and there was literally 12 people there.
The 11 meanwhile, people in the circles, right?
Yeah. No. Meanwhile, you have and this
I didn't know if it, I didn't know if that was real.
This is supposed to be the audience and the guy that we believe got 81 million votes
and Trump got 50,000.
Yes, and crushed Donald Trump. Yes. Meanwhile, adjacent to that, here's Trump holding a campaign rally with 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people in a place.
Crazy.
And another 10 or 15,000 standing outside that couldn't get in because the venue didn't support it. Give me a fucking break. If people don't wake up to the fact that we don't have free and fair elections and that we have done nothing to fix it and that we must take the ball and we must do something with it ourselves as we the people, then nothing is going to change. It will be the
status
quo.
So do you put police?
Let me suggest to you that in every great battle that's chronicled in the Bible, in every single one, the forces of good, the forces on God's side are outnumbered, every single one, yet they are ultimately victorious. So people say to me, Stone, what's your plan? I say, one of my key part of my plan. Call it corny if you want. I don't give a shit. I pray for divine intervention. I pray to the Lord to preserve this nation.
That's real.
That's real. That's power. I've experienced it in my own life.
Same.
And it's not like it's in your political, you know,
arsenal.
Arsenal, exactly. Yeah. But it is one of the absolute keys because we're right and they're wrong.
It is one,
and the facts are on our side.
It is the most powerful weapon in one's arsenal.
It is why they're trying to censor us, because if you tell the truth or you just deviate from their narrative in the slightest on anything, then you've got to be silenced and you've got to be discredited. It's bizarre. Or you end up like me, clickbait. Put my name in any headline. Doesn't matter whether what you say about me is true or not. I'm making money for Rolling Stone because they're broke and somebody clicks on it.
Yeah.
So I got a question for both of you then. What happens? Let's just, you don't, he know, he might not answer.
I'll answer hypotheticals.
Yeah, all right, right. So Biden does win. I'm not saying the election was stolen. I'm just saying Biden wins. Now what?
Well, he's going to die very soon.
Well, okay. Michelle Obama wins. Now what?
It's going to be absolutely...
the continuation of the agenda of the regime to just take away people's rights.
The nail in the coffin at this point, because we are just right at the brink of losing our country. And somebody like that at the helm of our country... the physical invasion continues.
There's your biggest single problem. So this is not some, you know, well-meaning mistake. This is an effort to change the makeup of the voting makeup of the country, mm-hmm. to fundamentally change it, to flood us with illegals so we can wave a magic wand, make them all citizens, and all give them the vote. Or maybe we'll let them vote in our elections even when they're not citizens in some states, which is beyond belief.
What are your thoughts on mass deportations?
Eisenhower deported 1.3 million people very successfully. You have the means and the logistics and the authority. All you need is the will. It's a massive undertaking. But if Eisenhower can do it with the improvements in technology,
they have an app.
You can very definitely do it.
Well, and also you could have policies immediately that. Would force millions more than that to self-deport. They don't want to be here anymore.
Yes,
but what
they
if it's
can't
a
do anything?
Hey, but what if it's a military coup?
Well, but let's recognize though that in many places, state law requires the state governments, to provide social services for illegals, even if that means cutting services on American citizens. So, okay, we're cutting your veterans benefits, we're cutting your education, we're cutting your law enforcement, we're cutting your health care. We're cutting your sanitation services so we can spend $53 million in New York City to give credit cards, preloaded credit cards, to illegals while we put them in luxury hotels and give them cell phones.
Okay, so let's say it's...
And a manila envelope full of cash.
Let's not say it's illegal immigration. Let's change the paradigm. And what... So let's say it's a military coup. If it's a military coup, what do you tell the people? What do you tell the American people? What is your advice to the American people if it's a military coup? Same question to you.
If what's a military coup?
Well,
the military will back the regime.
Okay.
The military under Barack Obama was cleansed of patriots.
Yep.
Patriots, between that and the pandemic, the patriots, or just those who were just down the middle, soldiers were not political, just did their duty. They were mustered out.
No, I'm saying, yes.
To the extent that there are people out there who are waiting for the military to ride to the rescue, stop waiting.
No.
Because that's not... General Milley is the military.
I think actually the military right now would fire on Americans if they were told to.
They probably would.
So, I'm saying the border being open, let's say that's not illegal immigration. Let's say the border being open is a military coup because we got known terrorists coming through the border. We got a multitude of people, and they say that's a military tactic, right? Well,
okay, so what do you tell the American people if you find that out irrefutably?
If it's not Roger illegal, the truth.
But there are people out saying this. I mean, I just had Christy Hutcherson on my show. She's with a group she started called Women Fighting for America. She's done amazing work to her own, at a great danger to herself, on our borders, exposing child sex trafficking, exposing the cabal. The drug cartels. I mean, she's done amazing work uncovering tunnels and so on. She has documented the extraordinary number of military-age Chinese, Middle Eastern people coming into the country. Also, the weapons that they're bringing in. This is not hidden. It's there for everybody to see. When we say, is it a military coup? The military will always back the regime. Unless you get control of the government, you can't even begin to control the military.
I mean, the platform at this point has to be non-negotiable. And it has to be that we are going to stop using our military to provide aid to other countries, period. Our military is going to come home, and we're going to militarize our border. This is the core function of a military, is to secure your border.
You need a president who will appoint a chairman of the Joint Chiefs who will reform our military. If you don't do that, then there is no other place to start.
And we also need to round up illegal invaders, people who are here criminally. They've already committed a crime just by being here. By being present, they have committed a crime. Do they need to be arrested and prosecuted in this country before deportation? I think that is a huge strain on the American taxpayer. I think that if they have committed crimes against persons here, I think that if they have molested children, that they should be, upon conviction, they should
stabbed
be put to
old
death.
Women. Yeah.
Yeah. Crimes against persons, violent crime, then sure. Otherwise, mass deportations need to start immediately. There are task forces that could do that, and then the rest will self-deport. And then we militarize the border. And if you try to invade our country, we're going to shoot you in the brain. And if you're a pedophile, we're going to do the same after you're convicted.
If you're convicted of a crime in another country, you would never get citizenship or even passage to the United States under our rules.
Yeah.
So those people should be deported first. If you're convicted of a crime where you came from, a heinous crime, you should be deported first. If you've committed a crime here, you should be deported, period. I think it's entirely logistically doable. No, it's not cruel. It's the law.
And we need to restore the rule of law in this country. They try to frame people like you or myself or Bao or anybody else in this space. They try to frame us as these radical right-wing conspiracy theorists, shock jock, violent rhetoric, extremist, ideologies. No, we want the restoration of the rule of law in this country.
It's a caricature. They create a caricature. But it's part of the vilification of anyone who stands up and tells the truth.
And an anti-Semite of the worst order, apparently. Look, don't notice or ask questions.
Or a coon or an Uncle Tom.
Roger, I've had a fantastic time. Full disclosure here, we've been friends for, I don't know, several years. Acquaintances at first. We've become friends.
I say the same thing I say with Alex Jones, which is I'm privileged to be on your show. That doesn't mean you and I agree on everything. Don't try that crap on us. We disagree on a few things.
Yeah.
But we agree on a hell of a lot more than we disagree on. Mm-hmm. He knows who the bad guys are trying to destroy the country.
Yeah.
But they try to – if you go on CNN, does that mean you agree with everything Anderson Cooper, the CIA asset said? Of course not.
I would allow my show to be aired on HillaryClinton.com.
Is Anderson Cooper a Rothschild?
No, he's a Vanderbilt. He's a Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt.
He's also
Anderson Cooper, a Rothschild. I said,
longtime CIA asset. Look how the vehemence in which he turns the attack on Joe Biden seconds after the debate. Look how quickly he turns on Joe, because those were the standing orders.
So we've got literally 3 minutes and 12 seconds left. What is the most important thing on Roger Stone's plate, and what do you want to make sure that all of them know?
Well, first of all, it's the daily grind to survive. Folks, go to StoneZone.com. So you can see the daily show that I do. As I said to you, people don't understand how hard we work to try to bring folks out there the truth. It's a huge amount of work. It's a huge amount of research. It's a huge amount of preparation. So I do a daily show at Rumble, rumble.com/Roger Stone or stonezone.com. I do a weekend radio show. I really put a lot into both of those things. And then beyond that, I have a Substack. I find writing to respond to the left is important. One thing I've noticed about the radical left, and that is they recycle the same horseshit over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The Russian collusion hoax. You disprove that there is no Russian collusion. You disprove that there is no WikiLeaks collaboration. You disprove all of this. But wait a few months, and they'll come right back and recycle all of this crap all over again. So you have to constantly shoot it down when you see it. You need to publish the truth, but also need to not fight the last battle. We need to fight the battle that's right in front of us. This is going to be the most epic struggle for the future of the country in our history. As someone who's been around for a long time in politics, of course we always say, this is the most important election of our lifetime. Sometimes we've said it when it didn't turn out to be true. We probably believed it at the time, but this is existential. This was the end for the United States of America. If we do not win this election, if good men and women are not placed in the Congress, if Donald Trump isn't returned, and then the Lord needs to give him wisdom going forward, because the Quislings will still be out to try to undermine his agenda. He has a pure heart. He's a good American. He's a true patriot. He's doing this because he loves the country. That's the most aggravating thing about Joe Biden saying, it's about him, it's about him. If this were about him, He'd be playing golf at the most beautiful resort in California or Scotland. He'd be playing, spending time with his grandchildren instead of spending his time in a drafty courtroom in New York being framed for non-existent crimes. No, it's not about him. But he is a warrior. He is a brawler. He will always stand up for the country. People don't know this. When they said he called American veterans who gave their lives suckers and losers, he paid for the parade personally in New York City for the Desert Storm veterans returning to New York City.
Wow.
He's a guy who loves our military, and the military loves him. And if Joe Biden thinks the military loves him, he's really delusional.
Joe Biden, through his mandate, killed a lot of service members. I know that. And obviously, as we all know, that it wasn't Biden's mandate. It wasn't Biden's policies. You know, the Valerie Jarretts and the Barack Obamas and the subversives from, you know, previous administrations, from the intel apparatus that were appointed there and installed there. There's a lot of unelected bureaucrats around Joe Biden that are making some very deadly decisions. And I mean, I agree with you. It's incredibly dangerous, and we're in dangerous times. And if we don't right the ship in one way or another, the United States of America is going to go dark, and I think it'll be the darkest country that we've ever seen. This is not to be pessimistic, and this is not to fearmonger. This is the honest-to-God truth. We are in deep shit.
No question.
If we don't right the people that are at the helm right now are running this country right into the depths of hell, and they're doing it on purpose. This isn't an accident, and this isn't because they're incompetent. This is because they have a satanic agenda that has a grip on the West, it has a grip on the planet, and they have a grip on the levers of power in this country, and we have to end that.
Saying this, pedophile fucks.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. With everything that you have going on and everything that you just talked about, and yes, both of us understand content creation, getting the truth out there, doing your research, trying to make sure that the validity of what you're saying and the accuracy of, and that you really wholeheartedly believe what you're saying, and then to do it on all of the different platforms that you do between your radio show and Rumble and your website and then Substack, I mean, writing and all of this stuff, how you have time to be with a wife that's battling with cancer, it's amazing.
I am blessed to be alive. And I was born for such a time as this.
Yeah.
And whatever God throws my way, I'll handle it.
God bless you, Roger Stone. Thank you very much for being here.
Appreciate you.
Uncancelable every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time at StuPeters.com as well as on Rumble. We're going to be on the streets. Actually, we are going to Venice Beach. That's where we're going next in L.A., the stuff that we're going to find out, if anybody knows what the hell is going on out here. If you want to know what the hell is going on, always visit StuPeters.com. Subscribe to us on Rumble. Make sure that you download the app. When people are subscribing, Roger, make sure that you tell them, download the app and subscribe there. Turn on the notifications so that you know when we go live. Also, follow us on all of our social media platforms, which you can see on the bottom of the screen. And there's Roger Stone's social media platforms as well. Until next time, at the same time, same place. Anything?
This is uncancelable.
God bless.